It's 12:14. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Got a little bit of a late start there as President Trump making news in Washington about the Iran nuclear deal. As I said, Diana Rauner will be here coming up later this half hour. And, oh, we're going to talk to the CEO of Lender as well. You know, I've been doing those commercials for them, and it's a way for businesses who need revenue quickly, or cash, I should say, quickly, who can't wait for a bank loan, or maybe they've got a blip on their credit, they can't get a bank loan. An outfit like Lender can really do a lot of good there. So we'll talk to the CEO. Right now, Andrea Haines is in the studio. She's the editor at Blue Sky Innovation. You read that in the Chicago Tribune, and she joins us most Fridays. Andrea, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
Thanks for, the president wrapped up a little early so that we have time to talk.
Good for him.
Hey, one of the companies, and I find we do talk about companies, particular ones, more and more or over and over, but this Outcome Health is one. The phenomenal rise. And they had a significant hiccup this week.
They did. There was a big story in the Wall Street Journal about Chicago-based Outcome Health, which was originally known as Context Media. And in both names, we've covered them over the years at Blue Sky and around the tech scene in Chicago and certainly here on the show. So they provide pharmaceutical advertising that you see in your doctor's office on screens. They've made a ton of money. They've grown super, super fast. So there's often good news about how their company's rising. But a little bad news this week from the Wall Street Journal, which was that sources say they have misled advertisers by manipulating the data about how many people are seeing their ads.
So interesting that, and we followed the company, that they've sort of moved from their original mission. Their original mission, right, was to provide these boards in doctors' offices that pharmaceutical companies would advertise on. That's where they're is trouble here, right?
Exactly.
And they've sort of moved beyond that now and are doing other things.
They do have some other offerings, but I think this is still a crucial part of the business.
And so they brought in Dan Webb, who, God bless Dan Webb. He gets called into these things, and he's going to sort of put a face on their internal investigation.
Yeah, so there's some high-powered talent there helping them out. And they did post, a public document. And while they're not denying really the incidents that are kind of detailed in the Wall Street Journal story, which is definitely worth reading, they did a long investigation. They have a lot of information. They say kind of growing pains.
Right. Well, let me ask you that, because not to excuse it at all, but if you were to look at it, sort of a naked model of companies that grow fast like this, I'm thinking of, was it Grubhub or Groupon? I mean, they run into this. This is not an... It's not unheard of that something like this would happen.
Yeah, and that's what kind of the words I was going to use exactly, right? It isn't unheard of. That's definitely also not to excuse it. I mean, right. It sounds like they're trying to drill down on who did what, the usual questions, right? Who did what? Who knew what when? All those things. They have, according to the Wall Street Journal, they have put 3 employees on leave, and they're investigating really what happened, because it goes into some issues of, where advertisers basically lied to about where ads were showing, how many people were reaching those, which obviously affects the income, that the company's making, which is what makes them this whole fast-growing company. So,
okay, we've got a minute left, and I want to talk about one other story. Genevieve Thiers has been on the show before. She came up with SitterCity.com. And I remember when she came on, she said, yeah, and now I'm singing opera, right? So she's not recreated, but became an opera singer as well. And now she and a partner are out with this sort of strategy of how startup mentalities can help artists. I know it's a lot to digest quickly, but tell me about that.
Exactly. It's sort of applying some of the, the business type thinking that you use to grow startups to people that are in more maybe arts type careers. And there are similarities, because in a way it's all, to use that terrible term, but it's your personal brand. It's figuring out who your fans are and how you can turn those fans out when you have an appearance or you need to get people to show up at something.
I mean, you used to have to rely on others to do that for you, but now we all can do it on our own and sort of create our own buzz.
Exactly. It's kind of using those publishing platforms that are free to all of us now and just finding ways to, again, identify those fans and figure out which of those fans are going to help you with what part of building your business.
I read the story. I really enjoyed it. In fact, I want to get to see if Genevieve can come back on, because I know she has a book coming out next month that sort of distills all this.
On this exact topic. Yep.
Andrea Haines, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Steve. Have a
great
weekend.
It's the Wintrust. Oh, we're going to talk to the First Lady of Illinois coming up just around the corner. About kids and ways to help kids. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. It is 12:21 on this Friday afternoon, a beautiful Friday afternoon in Chicago, a little bit better than the forecast is looking for the weekend. On the phone line now is Diana Rauner, the First Lady of the state of Illinois, and more importantly, for the purposes of this conversation, the president of Ounce of Prevention Fund. Diana, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. Happy to be here.
All right. Can I ask one Amazon question before we get into Ounce of Prevention?
Sure, I guess so. I don't know what I can answer it.
Well, I think you're on the committee, aren't you, that was named to sort of lure Amazon here?
I think me and 600 other Chicago citizens, yes.
Yeah, but you were in the first tier, I think. And so I know next week is sort of a deadline. I mean, any insight or how are you feeling about it?
Well, I don't really have much insight. I think, like every other person in Chicago, I think that it's a wonderful city, and Amazon would be crazy not to pick us. So I'm certainly hopeful, like everyone else.
All right, tell me about the Ounce of Prevention Fund, because I'm interested in a couple of things. One, what it is you're doing, but also how you're built, that it's this private sort of public partnership. Tell me about the mission.
So we are focused on the healthy development of children from before birth through age 5. And I think you probably know that we have a pretty big achievement gap in our country. We know that we here in Chicago have a number of youths who are dropping out of school and aren't able to participate in the workforce. Across the country, there's about 6 million young people between the ages of 18 to 24 who are not in school or working. And unfortunately, there are about 6 million children under the age of 5 living in poverty who aren't getting access to high-quality early learning programs in the first few years of life. So, and there's a direct connection between those two groups, because if we don't give children a strong foundation, both health-wise, but really importantly in terms of their educational preparedness and their social and emotional development, then they can't succeed in school, and then they really are not on the pipeline that we want them to be on.
And then they're not going to be productive workers, and that's why here you are on a business show.
That's exactly right. So this is a workforce development issue, but it's one that starts a little earlier than most people start to think about this problem.
All right, so tell me, though, two things. First of all, there's the immediate benefit, right? You are in the homes of 4,000 kids and families, but then you're hoping to learn from those 4,000 what works to expand to others.
Well, we actually work with children and families here in Chicago and with our partners across the state of Illinois and actually across the country. So we are, as you mentioned, a public-private partnership. We receive public funds from the federal government and the state. We share those with partners across our community. And we also work as a professional development trainer and coach and supporter of the pieces of high-quality programming. And we share that work really across the country.
Okay, and so tell me about, you know, because we talk about home visits. Tell me specifically what does the kid get? What's the program involving an individual child?
Well, so home visits are really one of the most effective ways for us to help parents be the kinds of parents they need to be for their kids. Home visits are voluntary programs where a nurse or a trained paraprofessional comes into the home and builds a relationship with the parents that helps the parents do the best they can to create a great environment for their child, to provide the right nutrition, the right interactions, connect with the right health providers, and of course get their children into high-quality early learning programs. This is just a great way to set children and families on the right trajectory from the very beginning. And it's very cost-effective because, as we know, parents are their children's first teachers. They're the most important people in their lives. And supporting parents in doing their work well is a very, very efficient way to make sure that all kids are getting the right start.
Okay, that's the program in a specific house. How do you then, I mean, I read that you gather data or gather, you know, collect information from the successes or failures of the programs and then try to apply that elsewhere. Explain that for me a little bit.
Well, you know, we're a learning organization, and in our field, we've tried to be one of the leaders in providing quality services, both in home visits and in early childhood classrooms and Head Start programs and preschool classrooms across our city and our state and our country. And our way of doing that is really by being a research and policy-based organization as well as a program leader, and using as much data and as much information and as much research as we can to make sure that what we're doing is really the most effective program that it can be, and sharing that work with other people. That's really that's our MO. That's what we do.
What is it specifically you found that works the best, or that you think that has had the greatest impact with these programs?
Well, clearly, the quality of the relationship between a parent and a child, between a teacher and a child, between anyone who's working with a very young child, that's really where great development happens. And so it's just really a question of how do you support that? What are the ways that you support that? We know in schools that great principals and great leaders help teachers do their best work. So we're very focused on making sure that schools are really good places for teachers to thrive and do well. We know that parents need a lot of support. And so, again, we've developed programs that really meet parents where they are and coach them and support them and give them ongoing support as they're interacting with kids.
You know,
it really is, you know, about helping the adults do a better job.
You spoke early in the interview about the gap, you know, sort of the haves and the haves not when it comes to education and then success in life later. I'm wondering if there's maybe an empathy gap, too, that you come across that I would imagine would be frustrating. I mean, do you think many of us understand the problem and understand the impact that groups like yours could have to change that problem?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I think that everybody appreciates how vital and important the first few years of life are. What I think people probably don't appreciate is how much harder it is to provide a great environment for a very, very young child when you're under the stresses of poverty and community violence and some of the other stresses that our families are facing. So I think every parent wants the best for her child, and everybody understands how important that is. What we're trying to do is make it easier for parents who are in poverty to do those things for their children that we want to do for our children.
I would imagine people would say, well, she's the wife of the governor. That must open a lot of doors and make it a lot easier. And I wonder if that's what you found. Has being the wife of the governor made your task easier, or has it made it a little more difficult?
Well, you know, first of all, Steve, I've been at this work for decades, so I am very, very proud of the work that my husband's doing, but I've been doing this work for a very, very long time, and I will keep doing this work after he's finished being governor, I can promise you that. So it's a marathon, you know. People have to appreciate how hard it is to build these kinds of programs and systems and to create the kind of funding. I'm very gratified that there are so many people, and this has really been for a very long time in our state, a bipartisan issue, and it is really something that I think people across the political spectrum appreciate. So actually, I've been very thankful that so many people have been invested in this work for a very, very long time.
Okay, allow me one other one then. J.B. Pritzker is one of the big donors to the Ounce of Prevention Fund. He may well be running against your husband next year. How does that factor into all of this?
Well, I don't think it does. You know, the work that we do here at the Ounce is supported by many, many foundations, and we've been grateful to the J.B. and M.K. Pritzker Foundation for their support. I think that support is really based on the merits of the work, and I'm expecting that that will continue.
Diana Rauner, the president, Ounce of Prevention Fund. It was great to talk to you. Thank you very much. Hope we can do it again.
Thank you very much, Steve. Take care.
You bet. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Thanks very much, David Jennings. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. All right, I've been looking forward to this. You know, we've been talking for weeks, maybe a couple months now, about Lender and about how they help businesses who need some cash and sometimes need it pretty quickly. The CEO, Tim Roach, is in the studio now, so we can sort of put a little meat on those bones. Tim, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. It's good to be here.
All right, so this is how I understand it in a nutshell, and then you correct me. Lender is a way for businesses to get access to capital, especially in a quick way, in a way that's quicker than banks, and sometimes if they wouldn't qualify for a bank loan, they can get the money they need to expand their business, right?
That's correct. We're a specially financed company that lends to small business throughout the United States.
What does that mean, specially financed company?
So we'll look at a business that will need, to your point, working capital from if it's a staffing company that needs additional capital for payroll, inventory. So we will handle a business loan in advance or a payroll staffing are kind of the companies that we look for.
How long has this business been up and running?
We started, I co-founded Lender in 2011. We kind of felt there was a need in the marketplace. The banks, you know, there's 29 million small businesses, and the banks basically stopped lending to 14 million of them. So we felt we could create a better process that would allow the business owners access to capital.
So, you know, this is a little off the track, but I, you know, talk to business owners here. You're a business owner. What's been your biggest surprise about this adventure you've been on? I mean, what is it that you've come upon that kind of you didn't expect?
Well, from a business owner as well, is the access to capital for us.
Really?
Right?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Right, exactly. we struggled getting our capital from a bank, and we had to go the route of alternative or specialty finance. and build a track record. And then we got our facility. And so it was interesting to be on the other side of that. So we obviously appreciate the small business owners that are coming to us to access capital, and we understand the speed for it.
Who are these prospective clients of yours?
So a prospective client of ours, or our clients that we have today, that ranges anywhere from like $250,000 to $10 million in revenue. And the deal sizes or the working capital that we provide ranges between $10,000 and $600,000.
Okay. And so it could be someone who maybe has applied for a bank loan and is waiting for it, someone who can't get a bank loan?
Yes. We see a lot of our clients that, you know, apply for a traditional bank loan. One, they are automatically denied. And then the second part is they get an approval, but it takes 3 to 4 months. And, you know, if this person is expanding and they need to increase their inventory or cover payroll, they can't wait 3 or 4 months.
Right.
So this business could be a medical facility. It could be a pizza. It could be a restaurant. It could be, you name it. Small businesses need access to capital.
Especially now, I would think, as we come into the holidays, people hiring season, do you find, is this an uptick time for you?
Absolutely. The fall and with the holiday season coming, we look at a lot of these seasonal businesses and realize that not only are they going to need to stock their shelves, once again, cover their payroll, help them with that, but any business, you know, from, like I said, the medicals that have to upgrade their equipment. A lot of franchises, every 2 years, they have to upgrade.
Tell me the story. I was reading about you and the story of CCC Technologies in Wooddale, because what I read about, I think it's kind of a good example of what you can offer that banks can't.
Absolutely. So CCC Technologies came to us. They were with a alternative lender, specialty finance lender, and they were just not getting any flexibility in their financing. They were getting ready to renew. They wouldn't reduce their terms, extend their terms. They wouldn't reduce their rate. So when they came to us, they really needed someone to listen to their story. And after talking to Jim and Juan over there, great operators, great business owners, we basically paid off their debt. We just recently renewed them, gave them longer terms, better financing, a better rate. And good to say that business is growing again with them, and they're doing better than ever right now.
So a lot of places, if you're at a bank or something, you're filling out an application, and if there's one check in the wrong spot, you don't qualify. And your point is that you listen to people's stories, you get to know the people a little bit, and put some value there.
Correct. We don't just look at a credit score. We realize there's a lot more involved than just a credit score.
All right, Tim. Tim Roach is here, the CEO of Lender. And all right, here's the deal. So I see commercials on TV late at night for these guys offering fast, easy cash. And, you know, my eyebrows rise up a little bit. I'm like, come on, what's this about? Looks a little shady. How are you different from those guys?
My eyebrows rise up as well.
I saw it just then.
Yeah, you know what? I think we differ in a lot of ways. One is
you know, you get the question, right?
I get the question a lot. I think that part of the specialty finance that has been dragged through the mud a little bit, and the payday lending space has really did a nice job of doing that and treating a lot of consumer and business owners unfairly. And so what we pride ourselves is doing the right thing by our clients. And we try to give them a fair rate. Obviously, everybody's a little bit different. Some businesses are doing extremely well, and some businesses are struggling. They need the working capital to get them out of that hole. But we try to treat every client the same way and doing the right thing by them, giving them a fair rate, a good term, the flexibility that they can make adjustments. And we don't believe in the 3 or 400% APR, let alone we go as low as 12% up to about 36 to 38% APR. So we think we're above most of our competitors. That's what sets us apart. And we're excited about that.
Okay, let's walk through it a little bit. I own a little travel business. I come into you and I say, Tim, I need some money. I want to advertise. I want a big push next year, and I need $30,000.
So the process is pretty simple. You've been in business for 1 year. We need 4 months of bank statements, and basically the underwriting department will have an offer to you in 4 hours or less. It's that simple.
How often do you – you must turn people away.
We do turn people away. We feel that there are certain businesses, like you said, a startup business that we don't do. We have a certain restricted industries, as everybody does. You know, we do have a cutoff in a FICO, if you will, and it's 520.
But that's a lot lower than banks.
That's a lot lower than banks. Banks don't like anybody below 700.
Yeah.
And so we help build their credit, and that helps them. So we have to turn away from time to time, but we want to look at the story more than just a credit score.
What brings you joy in this? What's the best part for you?
You know, when we started this company, with the idea was that we would be able to help small businesses. Like when we got help, when I first got my first opportunity, somebody, you know, on a handshake gave me an opportunity to start a small business. Right. And that was 20 plus years ago. And I want to be able to pay that forward.
Tim Roach is the CEO of Lender. How do people find out more information?
A few ways. You can go to lender.online. You can give us a call. You think I should know my phone number?
Actually, who does? Who knows phone numbers anymore?
312-800-0202. Give us a call anytime, or you can always just stop by our office. We're locally here in Chicago.
All right, clock's running. I get that 30 grand in what, a couple days?
Absolutely. Four hours, you get the you get your answer. In 24 to 48 hours, we fund you.
Great to see you. Come back. I want to talk to you about, because I know you help businesses figure out how to become more bankable, too.
Absolutely.
So we'll talk about that again.
Thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate
it. You bet. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720. Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch. You know, O was talking about some hurricane numbers, and it's Friday. We like to give the number of the week on Friday afternoons, and the number of the week this week is 200,000. FEMA is providing 200,000 meals a day to Puerto Rico. Think of that, 200,000 meals a day. But here's the thing. They acknowledge, FEMA knows that there are the need for 2 million meals every day, 2 million people who still need food on Puerto Rico. So $200,000, 200,000 meals is what they're offering. 2 million is what they need. Maybe the number of the week should be 1.8 million because that's what we're short so far. All right, so that's serious. Let's have fun. Front Row Phyllis is on a phone line with some ideas of what to do this week. And I just said, what do Jim Gaffigan and Les Mis have in common? And the answer is probably not much. Phyllis, welcome to the Business
Lunch. They probably don't. Just that they're both on stage. How about that?
Okay, we'll take that. But they are both in the area this weekend, right?
They are. They both are in the area. You know, Jim Gaffigan is over at Chicago Theater. Tonight and tomorrow evening, actually, there are two shows available. And he's been performing since Thursday. So he has had quite a few runs.
No kidding.
He's been here since Thursday.
So that seems, well, maybe it's not unusual for a comedian like Jim Gaffigan to be in one spot for 5 days.
Yeah, well, and to have two shows. So, you know, I think he's doing something right. Let's put it that way. You know, I love his humor. Have you heard him, you know, live? He is so funny. And the best part about it is, you know, his humor kind of revolves around fatherhood. And
right.
He has five kids, right? And, you know, laziness and food. And then he goes into those character voices. And so he's really, really funny. And it's clean humor, which is kind of like, you know, something for everybody.
Yeah, so. I follow him on Twitter. He's very funny on Twitter. And I've had a chance to meet him a couple times around the station. So seems like a good guy who's doing very well. So good for him.
Yeah.
All right. So that's at the Chicago Theater.
Yeah, it is.
And then down the street at the Cadillac is Les Mis, right?
Yeah, Les Mis just opened on Wednesday, and it runs only for a couple weeks, so it's only here until October 29th, and it is the new production of Les Mis. So this is the one that's direct from a 2.5-year return to Broadway. They're calling this, you know, glorious new staging and dazzling scenery, as well as a new production that is actually, audiences are saying that this Les Mis is born again. So I'm pretty excited about seeing it. I'm supposed to be seeing it next week.
So, oh, good. Yeah. Okay, so this is the time of year where I think of, you know, people, families trying to squeeze in sort of the last outdoor festivals or things like that or family events. There are two things I want to ask you about. First, in Washington Park, this Universal, soul as in soul music, Universal Circus. What's that about?
Yeah, it is so great. It runs now through October 29th. And what it does is it's a completely different type of circus. The show combines elements of the circuses from around the world. So there are 24 different countries and combined into one show. So it's really unique when it comes to circuses. Of course, there's going to be the clowns and there's trapeze and, you know, aerials and dances and, you know, horses, as well as BMX bike riders. But it is really something you've never seen before.
All
so you definitely want to check it out.
The other one is a spot that I used to hang out at when my kids were pumpkin age up at Didier Farms. They've got their fall festival this weekend.
They do. It runs now through October 31st. It is open from 9 to 6. And this is so great because they kind of put Fall Festival Pumpkin Playland under one roof. So they have, everything for the kids, everything from a kiddie carousel to a Ferris wheel and, you know, mines for gems that kids can look for, as well as riding mini tractors. But they also have something for kind of like teenagers and maybe adults. And have you ever checked out one of those escape rooms?
They've got escape room there?
They do. They have an escape room that's actually a mobile escape room. And it's pretty cool. It's in a 32-foot luxury trailer. And you have about 15 minutes to solve, you know, riddles and puzzles and clues in order to escape out of the locked room. So would you be doing that?
No.
What do you think?
I don't think so.
Yeah, me neither.
All right. Well, sounds like fun anyway. So where do people get more information, Phyllis?
They just go to frontrowphyllis.com.
All right. Have a great weekend. I appreciate it.
You too.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. Here we are on 720 WGN.